You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Carsten Jensen's latest novel, We the Drowned, begins in 1848 when Denmark and Germany went to war, and combines tales of lost loves, shipwrecks, deserted islands, cannibalism, prophecies, tragedies, and community that span over a century of the history of a fishing village called Marstal. The novel has already been labeled an instant classic in Europe and has won both of Denmark's most prestigious literary prizes. It's now being published in translation in the United States by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. And I'm very pleased to welcome Carsten Jensen to our show today. Hello.
Hello, and thank you for welcoming me.
You grew up in Marstal. It's located fairly close to Copenhagen, but I'm assuming it's a very different world.
It's a very different world. And since Denmark is so small, everything is very close to the capital. But actually, given the small size of Denmark, it is in a kind of remote corner, quite close to Germany, in a kind of remote corner of the Baltic. So it used to be an isolated place. And today, I guess, nowhere is isolated in small Denmark.
Well, you get the sense in this book that as close as it is to the capital, many of the things that are happening in Denmark are totally foreign to the people of this fishing village because they're involved in what they do in their day-to-day lives?
Well, I deliberately chose to tell the story from the point of view of the locals who were never concerned about history or politics, who got continuously messed up in it, but not by their own free will. And I think that was the kind of intriguing part of the story.
And you tell the story in an odd way. It's not first, it's not really third. It's kind of like the voice of the community, all with once in a while using the voices of individuals.
Yes, I chose to tell it from the point of view of a first plural, a collective we, which is somehow the collective memory of the small town. But it is a masculine we, because I discovered that the lives of women and the lives of men were so dramatically different. The men always being absent on the sea and the wives being at home with the kids and bringing up in a very lonely life in many ways.
Had your relatives been sailors?
My father was a sailor, but his father was something else. So he was just a kind of exception in the family.
Your father was the captain of a freighter.
Yes, a very small freighter.
There's a young character in the book named Knud Erik, who is a young boy who loves to hear sailing stories, especially the gory ones. I'm assuming that was based on your experience?
Yes, you could say that. Yes, my father was a great storyteller.
So you heard these stories from him and other people? But you decided not to go out to sea.
No, because I somehow felt that, you know, it was a kind of blind alley to go down, that these times were over. Also, I wasn't really fit for it. I had asthma as a kid and was not a very physical kid, so I chose another part and became a kind of, you know, writer, journalist,
and
novelist.
The title sort of suggests that there's another reason to choose another profession.
Yes, that's true.
What is the significance of We the Drowned?
Well, if you took a walk in the local cemetery for that century that the novel spans, you would make the quite amazing discovery that there were too few men buried in the cemetery because they never came home. They drowned out there. A lot of ships and men were lost at sea. And I somehow felt that that left a kind of hole in the very heart of Marstal, an existential hole, that ritual with which we end our lives and those left behind somehow get used to the idea of never seeing us again. The burial was absent.
Well, your main protagonist here, Albert Madsen, wishes to become a sailor even after his father, Lauritz, is presumed to have died at sea, and his grandfather, Rasmus, had also drowned. Why would a Marstaller choose to go into this profession knowing that being a sailor can often be fatal?
Because they had no choice, you know. It was not a romantic idea to go to the sea.
There was no other occupation
because it was a small island. There were already a lot of farmers. All the land had been divided. There was nothing else, no other choice.
In the back of the book, you have acknowledgments, and you list a lot of writers of the sea: Herman Melville, Robert Louis Stevenson, Mark Twain, Joseph Conrad. I'm assuming you
Jack
read
London.
All of those.
Yeah, I read all of them, yes.
And there are a lot of Danish names as well. Some of these are people who live in the town, but is there also a Danish tradition of seafaring literature?
No, not really. Even though Denmark used to be a seafaring country, there never developed a real tradition of seafaring literature as in America or as in the UK.
You have such a large seacoast.
Yes, we have an immense seacoast, even though we are a small country, because we have like 500 islands and most of us live on islands.
But when you became a journalist and you have traveled around the world, I'm assuming you didn't sail, you flew.
I flew, yes, or trains or buses. I didn't do a lot of sailing. And actually, I've met a lot of sailors who've read the book and loved it. And they're so disappointed when they meet me because they think I'm a sailing enthusiast. And they discover this boring nerd who doesn't even really like the sea.
And they assume that the story you tell here is based on history when much of it is invented.
Most of it is invented. But I somehow respect, you know, the great outlines of history. Historical facts, of course, but I invented all the characters.
Well, a lot of the characters in the book share the last names with names you list in the acknowledgments. Is that just a coincidence?
Yes, because I wanted to take typical names from that town, so I just chose them randomly. But a lot of people thought, after having read the book, that they recognized long-gone relatives. And in some cases, I couldn't bring myself to tell them that that wasn't true. And then one of them, an 83-year-old sailor, said something very touchingly to me. He said he thought he had found himself in the book and was very proud of it. But then he said, well, it doesn't really matter because we are all in it. What you caught was the spirit of the lives we lived. And that was what I wanted to catch.
You even have a character named Jensen. Of course, Jensen is as common in Denmark as Jones
or Smith.
And Smith are
yes,
here.
Yes.
What about the legend of Lauritz Madsen? Is that something that was a real legend, or is that something you
well,
made up as well?
Lauritz Madsen, the astonishing thing that happens to him is that he takes part in a naval battle and the ship is blown up. And he somersaults high up in the air and returns to the deck alive and lives to tell the tale. And that actually happened to somebody, not somebody from Marstal, but somebody else. And I found it in my research and thought, wow, here is the opening of the book.
Although this is elaborated on, he goes to heaven, he meets St. Peter, and
yes,
then he comes back.
St. Peter instead.
Now, this occurs during the First War of Schleswig. And you give him credit for actually starting the war, or at least playing a role in the start of the
war.
Well,
starting it on the local island, because he's a great joker. So one night when he arrives on the sea, he yells out, "The Germans are coming," and everybody panics and starts to get ready to defend themselves. And there is no German coming. And he participates happily in all the preparations for the war,
well
knowing that there will be no enemy coming.
But then the Germans did come, and they won the war, didn't they?
No, that particular war, Denmark won. But it was actually a civil war, because that part of Germany was back then a part of Denmark, a much bigger Denmark than today. But that was the last war Denmark ever won in the history.
It had a second war of Schleswig.
Yes,
which
we lost.
And
yes.
Then, of course, World War II, the Germans came
and occupied Denmark, yes. And First World War, we were neutral.
This book actually starts just about the time that Denmark became a constitutional monarchy. But
when it became a constitutional democracy.
Democracy.
That was the ending of the days of monarchy.
And is that important to understanding this story?
No, not really. No, not really.
We you cover the history of this town over 100 years, so you're using the characters of the Madsens as a way of telling, to some degree, the history of Denmark, or of a small town.
No, I was much more interested in the mentality and the history of a small town than I was in the history of my country, and I thought it would be much more interesting to tell it from the point of view of some locals. And what they did not share with the rest of the Danes, because this was a time in history when Danes, because of all these losses in war, became very introvert. But they became extrovert. They started sailing all over the world. They discovered that there was a world outside of Denmark, and they could make a living from it. And that's what makes them stand out in Danish history.
And most of Marstel's men saw the world, traveling to exotic locations like Samoa, Australia, Chile, and in some cases maintaining a number of different families around the world.
Yes, they
so
did.
So there are
yes.
Danish, there are half Danish children in Samoa, for example?
Well, I tracked down on the internet the sixth generation of Marstellers. The first Marsteller arrived there mid-19th century, and his family is still there, but pretty much mixed up with the locals.
Most of the homes in Marstel, in your book, have strange and exotic souvenirs from the travels, conch shells,
yes.
Shark bones, even shrunken heads. When you were a boy, did you see things like that?
Oh, yes, but I didn't see them anymore that much in the local homes because they were brought to the local seafaring museum where there was one room which was for, it was simply called the room for things we brought home. And that was such an amazing place. And I think in one way the idea of the novel was born in that room.
Is sailing culture still present in Marstel today in an age of diminishing fisheries?
You know, it was never fisheries. It was always freighters. And there is a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But
they were involved in international trade, really.
Yes, that's what they were. Yes, yes, they didn't fish. But yes, it's still, there's not a lot of boats belonging to that little port, but a third of the population are still connected to the sea.
And would it still be called a town of wives, as one of your characters calls it?
No, not anymore. It was actually called a town of widows. In Danish, it was known as the town of widows because so many men never came back.
Now, the book ends not long after World War II. Why was that what called the end of the world by the characters in the novel?
Because one of them has dreams in which he foresees the future. What he foresees is the First World War, but his last dream ends on a scary apocalyptic note where he sees what seems like the whole world going under. And then his stepson, this becomes real to him, but this is the blitz over London, which to somebody dreaming about it 30 years before would look like the end of the world.
This is Albert Madsen, who
yes.
has these prophetic dreams.
Yes, and in a way it is the end of the world these sailors know. This is the end of the town. The story comes to an end, the end of that particular era in sailing.
But this is not magic realism, but you use legends and dreams as a way of
yes.
dealing with
yeah.
that aspect of literature.
Yes, I do, yes. Because I think reality has a fantastic dimension.
Now, the book was completed in 2006, won a lot of awards. It's 5 years later, it's finally translated. Do you think that the world doesn't pay enough attention to the literature of countries like Denmark?
Well, we have a hard time getting for our books to travel outside of Denmark. It's a country of 5 million. We have our own language, and not many people out there understands it. So just to find a foreign reader who can read Danish is a huge problem.
But isn't English really half Danish and half French?
No,
the Angles and the Saxons were from Denmark, weren't they?
It's actually much closer to German. But never tell that to a Dane.
The translators are Charlotte Barsland with Emma Ryder. And the book is We the Drowned, written by Carsten Jensen, a winner of many prizes in Denmark and throughout Europe, and just published in America by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me.